Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is May 23rd, 2016, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and today's show, The Healing Soul.
Everyone has had times in their life where you feel like you've received angel messages, or there's been a situation where angels have helped guide you and you haven't even really realized that they were the ones that helped you and that you just feel like you were fortunate. So I just want to start the show by saying that angels are all around us. So all we have to do is ask for their help to intervene, and they will help us on a regular basis. So ask your guardian angel to come to you and help you throughout your day. They're waiting for you to help, and like I said, you just have to ask your angels and allow them to come into their life and look for their subtle cues and be open and allowing to having them help you. Because they really can improve your life on a daily basis. I always put angelic protection around me when I'm driving in my car, especially. So anyone can use extra help when you're driving, or especially if you're on a long trip, or if you take a flight, you can, before you take off, you can just shut your eyes and mentally ask your angels and archangels to surround the plane and to protect you in your travels. So angelic interventions, particularly, I talk about in my book on Angels' Wings, Angelic Interventions, that's available on Amazon.com. And a lot of the things that I'm talking about today are going to be from my book on Angels' Wings, Angelic Interventions. Angelic interventions are times when we're saved from danger by a supernatural occurrence. A celestial being that steps in and acts on our behalf from heaven to help in that dire time of need, be it a car accident or a time when you're sick or a loved one is sick and you just need extra help and extra strength, that if you ask for angelic help or just say, please help me, they'll step in and help you in your time of need. And I've had many different times where angelic interventions have been there for me, but one that really sticks out to me that everybody can relate to, I was driving on the highway, and that knowing voice in my head, which I know was Gabriel, told me to brake. And I thought, that's crazy, I shouldn't brake on the highway, but I did because I know to listen, you know, when I hear a message clearly like that, to listen, because it's for my higher good. And so a big chunk of the overpass fell down and hit the highway. And if I hadn't braked, it very well could have gone through my windshield. And instead, it just hit a little piece on my fender and chipped, you know, the paint a little bit. But, you know, what a difference. If I wouldn't have listened, it could have been much worse and gone through the windshield and I could have been injured. So I really rely on messages that I receive. I pay attention to the little subtle hints. And I mean, obviously, you know, if you hear that message in your inner voice saying, you know, do this or do that, and it's so strong that you need to listen to it, because angels really can save your life and intervene to save your life in this lifetime. So like I said, I just knew I have a special connection with Gabriel in my writing and just in my daily meditation. So I really feel like Gabriel saved me that day. And, you know, everyone has a guardian angel that surrounds you and protects you and is there for you. And, you know, how cool is that? Because this life can be pretty hard. You know, you've got different situations you go through that are very painful. And I'm sure there's listeners out there today that are going through divorce, or you have an illness, or you have a loved one that's ill, or someone that's passed, and you're going through a difficult time, and if you're ever feeling lonely, it's just very enriching to know that angel messages can help guide you on your daily life. And all you have to do is ask for them to come to you in the different ways. You can ask for them to come in dreams, and then you can, you know, ask that you recall the dreams. So, you know, truly believe in angels because they do believe in you, and they really truly want to help you in this lifetime. So in every life transition, you know, that you're going through, and even in the good times, I always ask every day that I meditate, angels and archangels, thank you for the help in everything that I do. And I just feel like they're there to watch out for me and cheerlead me and be there for me. So if you're, you know, a skeptic and you're like, well, I've never seen an angel or I've really never heard an angel, there's really no need to actually see your angels to have them help you or to hear them. Just the act of allowing and asking is enough. So you just need to believe that it's possible that your angels can help you. And, you know, to ask your angels to protect you and surround you and help you is enough that they know that you're open to receiving them and they'll help you. So to perceive an angel's presence is to be in tune with all of your senses, just kind of being aware and listening to the subtle nudges that you feel like someone is like nudging you to call someone. You keep having that repetitive thought or to do something that you feel like it wasn't initially your thought. That's an angel nudging you and helping to guide you. And just to allow that beautiful, peaceful energy that angels bring, just a calm sense of serenity comes around you when your angels are present. So like I say, you know, I'm such a believer in meditation, but it is a great way to communicate with your angels and ask your angels for a sign that they're around you in meditation. And you can ask for a specific sign, like to smell a certain flower or to feel a cold touch or, you know, very beautiful music. If you hear a melody, something that's particular that you ask them. And then when you hear or see it, it will validate that your angels are around you. So there's really no wrong way to get a message from an angel. Just be open to receiving and know that they are available for you to get help from on a daily basis. So I've just got a short little angel meditation that I want to share with you. This angel meditation, you breathe in peace and you exhale all your anxiety, fear, and stress. And you do this 3 times. And then you say, I call upon my special angel to guide me today in everything that I do. I know that you're around me and you're ready to help me, and I allow you to come in. And I try to envision you in my mind, and please give me your name and all the messages for my highest good today. And let me realize your subtle signs that you send me. Thank you for protecting and guiding me today. And then at the very end, I'm ready to receive my message for the day. And you can journal what comes to you. And, you know, in the beginning, you might not get your guardian angel's name, but different things will come through. And you can ask also for a specific sign, like I said, to know that your angels are around you. So it's just a powerful way through meditation. I mean, it can just be 5 minutes of sitting quietly and asking your angels questions and just allowing them to be part of your day and then thanking them for the help that they're given, because they will come forward and give you help. And everyone, like I said, has a guardian angel or a spirit that watches over and protects you, that you have an affinity to, or you just always think of a certain angel, that's your guardian angel. So there's such joy and magic and peace and serenity in realizing that you have angels that can help you on a daily basis, even when things are going good, that you've got protection and angelic help around you. So it's just a beautiful presence. You know when you've got that just calm peace, like you feel life is good feeling, that you know that your angels are around you. Because Earth can be pretty brutal, and life can be pretty brutal in the transitions that we all go through. So Earth is our learning plane, and we need all the help that we can get on our journey through this life here. And God wants us to be our best, and we can acknowledge the presence of angels as a gift from God to help us in our daily life here on Earth and our journeys. So it's very special to have angels that can help you and to call upon, and it's really cool when you start to realize who your special angel is, and in meditation you can ask for messages specifically from that angel. Like I said, I feel affinity with Gabriel for my writing, and I can sit sometimes for 6 hours and it just flows, and I'll ask Gabriel, help give me the words to move other people for their highest good and my highest good also. And it just flows. So it's just getting attuned and allowing your angels to come in and to help you. So, sometimes you feel a tingly feeling or a cool touch on your arm, and you know that spirit or an angel is with you. And if you get that tingly feeling right after asking for angelic help, it's just a confirmation that your body is sensing the angels around you with that tingly. I get a tingly feeling from the top of my head that goes all the way through to my toes. And I know that Gabriel is helping me write or helping me with the issue in my life. So just opening up your spirituality and being aware that our angels are around to help us really empowers us to live for our highest good and the highest good of others that are around us. And, angels can work through friends that give you a spiritual message that you were supposed to hear that day that really resonates with you or resonates with the issue that you're going on in your life or a problem or maybe just an uplifting message that you needed to hear that day that really made you feel. It's just about empowering yourself and making yourself open to receiving help. That, it's a powerful person and a strong person asks for help from friends and asks for help from angels and asks for guidance, because we all need guidance in this life. So it's just powerfully empowering to invite your angels and archangels into your life. And like I said, some of the things to know that your angels are around would be like a touch in your shoulder or a cool touch on your arm or that shiver that kind of goes through your spine. And I'll get feathers that appear out of nowhere and will just float down in front of me out of nowhere, and you don't know where they've come from. And that's definitely my sign that an angel is around. Or getting a glimpse out of the corner of your eye and, the hair on the back of your arm kind of stands up, like you feel like somebody's standing behind you. That can be an angel's presence. And like I said, you just get that calm, peaceful feeling that comes over you that just feels angelic. It sounds corny, but it does. It's just peace and calm, and you feel that life is good. So it's just a reassuring feeling that everything is going to be all right. So, we have many different angels, and everybody's guardian angel, I believe, is different. And it's just being open to receiving dreams and to journal what your angels give you in your dreams when you first wake up, because you can ask your angels to come to you in a dream, you know, at bedtime before you go to sleep, and then when you wake up, you know, have the thought, you know, did I dream, and were there any messages? And the more you do this, the more different messages will come through from your angels that can help you in your daily life. Just like your spirit guides help you, angels can and intercede and help in times of crisis and in good times. Just if you, you know, if you're not sure about your job or your life or you need some extra guidance, they're always there for you to help move and help you for your good in your life. And, you know, I've had many angelic interventions where I know that Gabriel has saved my life and other angels have saved me from harm. And I would like to welcome a guest, David Zimmerman, who is also, we were at an astrology conference, and he shared that he has also had angelic intervention, and I invited him to share his story today on the show also. Courtney, do we have David?
Yes, we do. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, David. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, my dear. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, good to talk to you also. So this is David Zimmerman, and tell us a little bit about yourself, David.
I'm a retired General Motors executive. I retired about 6 years ago. I've been a lifelong student of theosophy and the ageless wisdom teachings. I am involved with the Claregate College in England, which was founded by Dr. Douglas Baker, most prolific author of esoteric books in the 20th century. I am teaching at various venues around the country. I'm lecturing. I have lectures I also do here at my home. I have a classroom, and we have potluck dinners, and lots of people come over for talks. I'll be putting some stuff soon on YouTube, David Zimmerman lecture series, from some talks I gave at a meeting in July called the Great Lakes Retreat. It's been held every year for 40 years at Olivet College in Michigan. And also, like I say, my involvement with Claregate College in England. And we're doing a lot of interesting stuff there with the astrology.
I'll have to look for a new website.
I'll give you at the end of the program, and you can look it
okay.
up today if you like.
Okay, thank you.
I know you're talking about angels today.
Yeah, do you have a time in your life where angelic intervention played a part for you personally?
Oh, I do, absolutely. Yeah, my life was saved on several occasions in the Vietnam War. In 1968 to 1969, would have been August of 68 to August of 1969. The most vivid that comes to mind was on the night of March 19th on a hill called LZ Incoming over in the tri-border area of South Vietnam, where Cambodia, Laos, and South Vietnam meet. It was a very dangerous area. I was on a hill. Didn't know at the time we were surrounded by the 66th North Vietnamese Regiment, known as the Tiger Regiment, which was Ho Chi Minh's favorite military unit. They were sworn to wipe us out. I was in a big bunker, a long, very long, narrow bunker that was called the Platoon Command Bunker. And my old platoon sergeant, Sergeant Mack, we called him Sergeant McCarthy, he was in a drunken stupor and had a crude calendar he'd made on the lid of a a box of hand grenades came in, and he had checked off the 20th of March. And it was in a candle that was lit with very crude, in a bunker that was lit by very crude candles that were made out of wax impregnated cheesecloth that was used to package mortar rounds. And they'd give off a black smoke and an orange, strange orange light. It was a very austere environment. And I had watched him, and he was mumbling stuff about the 20th of March and about how our company had been wiped out a year before and it was going to happen again. So I listened to that for a while, and I decided I'd go out and go back to my bunker to go to sleep that night. And I got out of the bunker, and the minute I was outside the command bunker, I lost all sense of direction, which I've never had happen in my life. We'd been on the hill for 30 days, and all of a sudden I couldn't see anything. It was a moonless night. I held my hand in front of my face. I couldn't see anything. It was that dark.
Wow.
I fumbled my way along the platoon bunker, which, as I said, was a very long bunker. Must have been 25 feet long or more, 30 feet. And I figured I was down about halfway, and I knew that my bunker was out in the opposite direction to the platoon command bunker where I had just been. And I did manage to find my way over to my bunker where I was going to go to sleep. It was in the monsoon season, tail end of the monsoon season. And there was about six or seven guys sleeping inside this bunker we had for my squad. And I decided I was going to sleep on the roof that night of the bunker. The roof of the bunker was really only about 2.5 feet above the surface of the ground. And I grabbed my air mattress and I put it up on top of the bunker, and I began to lift myself up in the top of the bunker, and I heard the most unusual and overpowering voice of my life. And it was a voice that was neither male nor female. It was indistinguishable. And it said, which I'll explain in a minute, in an economy of words, it said, it came from the sky, the voice.
So you actually heard it, or did you hear it?
Oh, yeah,
mind?
I actually heard it, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Audible.
Came from the sky. Above my head, I would say, probably 10 feet, 8 or 10 feet from above my head at a slight angle. And it said, "Zimmerman, don't do that." I was absolutely powerless but to do what the voice said. I grabbed my air mattress. I went back around. I found my way around to the back entrance of the platoon bunker, and I threw my mattress on the floor and laid down and went to sleep. Never thinking about what had just happened, just knowing that I had to do what the voice said.
That's so profound.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. At 4:30 that morning, the 66th North Vietnamese Regiment opened an attack on our perimeter at LZ incoming. And the very first mortar round they fired landed exactly dead center on my squad bunker where I was going to go to sleep that night. And it blew blew the roof off the bunker, and had I been laying there, there wouldn't have been anything left of me, nothing. And we used to call it pink smoke in Vietnam, where your body is just blown into a cloud of pink smoke, and that's what it would have been. But my life was saved. We had a firefight, of course, broke out. There on a mountaintop behind LZ incoming was the fire base for my unit, first of the 12th, 4th Infantry Division. They began to fire direct fire, and it was a skirmish that didn't last very long. That morning, we left the hill and went out to a mountaintop. We walked from about 9 o'clock in the morning to, no, it was 7 o'clock in the morning, I think, to 9 o'clock at night up a mountain called Chuprat Mountain. That night, in absolute darkness, the North Vietnamese hit the hill again, LZ incoming, where we had just been and left that day. And, of course, many hundreds of them were killed because there was direct fire on the hill. How they didn't know that we had left is beyond me. I guess they scattered and didn't really know that we had left the hill, but we had left. So, again, my life was saved again because there could have been another terrible firefight. There were somewhere between 500 and 1,000 of them, and I think there were 80 or 90 of us. So
did this experience profoundly change you when you, I mean, heard this audible voice from 8 to 10 feet above you, mm-hmm. and then realizing that you would have, you know, you would have been in harm's way and that voice saved your life? Were you already a spiritual person, or did
I was. Yeah, I was. I had remembered stories that I had a teacher in college who was a theosophist, and he told me some really interesting stories, which I'll tell another time on your radio show,
mm-hmm.
of very powerful spiritual beings that I met in the flesh, and stories I'd heard about them before I ever met them back as far back as 1965, which was my first year in college. And I can remember being in Vietnam and thinking about some of the stories. In fact, on that very hill where my life was saved by a voice, neither male nor female, truly an angelic voice.
Right.
So powerful that I couldn't do anything other than what the voice told me. The thing that's interesting about this angelic voice is that these higher beings, these angelic beings, use what we call in the esoteric and what my teacher and guru in England, Dr. Douglas Baker, always referred to as an economy of their energy. They don't go into long, elaborate statements. They say just a few things, and it's so powerful, you don't need any more than just the few words they speak to make the point. See what I mean?
Well, it's so profound that it goes right through you. When I've had my experiences, you just feel it in all of your being. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah, that's
all
true.
All at once.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the way it affected me. It was so powerful. I had to do what the voice said. I didn't even never thought of not doing what the voice said. I had another experience in a really bad place called LZ Sue in Vietnam over on the Cambodian border. And we had gone out, my platoon, to secure this hilltop where a small group of 4th Division LRPs, those are reconnaissance guys. I did reconnaissance work too, but these were guys from the division headquarters, and they had made contact with the point element of a North Vietnamese. I think it was the 24th, or I think it was the 24th North Vietnamese Regiment, and they had killed 5 of these point element and made it to the top of the hill. And then we went in and secured the hill and got these five LRP team members off the hill. I was the last man off the hill. God is my witness. I'm on the side of the hill with my rifle and radio, a PRC-25. It's an Army radio telephone kind of a thing, very heavy, about 25 pounds. I used to carry I was the RTO for my platoon, the 2nd platoon, Alpha Company, 1st of the 12th. And the last helicopter was coming in, and I'm on the side of the hill, just down from the crest of the hill a little ways. maybe 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I look to my right, and here come 7 North Vietnamese soldiers around the corner.
No, no.
They looked at me. I looked at them. And I had this incredible telepathic communication with them. And they did with me as well. We were what they call in the esoteric mystery schools, en rapport. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, and I knew they were reading my thoughts, and I read their thoughts, and I said, okay, I don't want any trouble. Let's just go our own separate ways. And they turned around almost in unison, these 7 North Vietnamese soldiers at the base of this hill on a little trail, a trail that went all the way around this hilltop, a very dangerous place called El Zi Su. And they, in unison, did an about face and walked around the other side of this bamboo thicket at the base of the hill. I grabbed my rifle, my radio, went up the top of the hill, got on the Chinook helicopter. That's a big transport helicopter, can carry up to, you know, 50, I think about 50 men. Got on, never said a thing. Got back to our fire base, and I told my machine gunner about what had happened, and he said to me, you saved our lives. He said,
wow.
If you would have told him that those North Vietnamese were down there, we would have probably gotten in a firefight with them. And there were 2,500. They were these 7 guys were a part of this point element of this regiment, about 2,000, maybe 2,500. Usually field strength is less than, you know, a normal size. There might have been 2,000 of them. But I remember he was so pleased that I didn't tell the lieutenant in charge that, you know, that I'd seen these 7 North Vietnamese. Because this LERP team that we had just rescued had made
mm-hmm.
contact with these guys. There might have been 10 or 12 of them in that a point element of the regiment. And they killed 5 of them. And we got the LERPs out alive. And that was another incident. But there were other incidents, too. And sometimes your life can be saved through angelic intervention that you don't even know anything about. No telepathic
experience. I totally agree with
that. No voice.
Right.
Things will happen.
It's just synchronicity, I call it, happens. And,
exactly.
And you think, boy, I was really lucky. I could have really been hurt. And you go on your way, and 5 years from then, you're telling somebody a story about it, and somebody's like, you know, because I do readings also, I hear so many people's stories that I will tell them, well, even if you don't realize it, that was
mm-hmm.
definitely angelic intervention,
mm-hmm.
you know, not
mm-hmm.
just good luck. And
mm-hmm.
then they'll come to tell you, well, I am spiritual and I do believe and, you know, angels
mm-hmm.
can help and I ask for angels' protection. So if you dig a little deeper in their story, they're like, wow, I never really thought of it that way.
Oh,
so I totally agree with you. But
yeah,
that is miraculously that you could telepathically say, I don't want any trouble. And to see them turn around, I mean,
it just
ran through you.
Yeah, it was so powerful that I couldn't even believe it at the time that it was happening. It was so powerful.
And it was happening
to
you, and you couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It was just such a powerful, powerful experience. And there were other things, too, you know, where I had an incident when I first got into Vietnam. My old platoon sergeant from Fort Lewis, Washington, wanted me to go to get transferred into his unit. We were getting our orders of what unit and where we're going to go within the 4th Infantry Division. And mine came in to go to Alpha Company, 1st of the 12th, which had just been wiped out by friendly fire 2 weeks earlier. And he
mm-hmm.
wanted me to go. He had already been to Vietnam once before, and he was going back to his same unit, which was Bravo Company, 2nd of the 35th. And he wanted me to go with him. He was going to be a platoon sergeant, and he wanted me to be his RTO. And the captain that was in charge of the 4th Replacement Depot, wouldn't change my orders. And he came back and he was real sad and he said, I couldn't get your orders changed. And I was crushed. I thought, wow, this is terrible. It was like a ticket where if I went with him, I thought for sure I'd be safe and I'd be able to survive the war. But that didn't happen. And back in May, that was in August, 1st of September, 1968, and then in May, I found out through my platoon leader, who was from the same hometown in California as my drill sergeant, from Lynn, California, it's a suburb of Los Angeles, and that was, and I had told him about this drill sergeant. And he was reading the Army Times, and they had the obituary for my drill sergeant in the Army Times. And they had been wiped out by a North Vietnamese, probably really Chinese, because the Chinese military was there.
So had your orders gotten changed, you would have also.
I would have been killed also, yeah. They were wiped out. There were only 10 guys that made it out of alive out of about a couple of hundred from... There were two companies, American companies, that had been attacked. But that was just another incident of ironic twist of fate or good karma that saved me. But one of the most unusual experiences that I had, and I can't say that it may have been angelic in a way, but it was a different kind of an experience, and it was something that came from within. Oftentimes in life what happens, Mary Beth, is that you can be in a very stressful situation and it will draw your own soul down into you. I think that's what that telepathic thing was back at LZ Sioux and the 7 North Vietnamese soldiers. It could have been my higher self communicating with me or to them. But when I first... was on the day before I left for Vietnam, I was in the Oakland Army Terminal for 3 days. We'd gotten a reprieve because of a huge typhoon off the South China Sea that was hammering Vietnam. And so they said we'd have a one-day flight delay. So I decided I wasn't going to lay in an Army bunk bed with 10,000 other guys who were waiting to go to Vietnam. So I got up. And I walked down a long hallway, and I heard billiard balls clicking in this room, and I walked into a small billiard room, pool room, in the Oakland Army Terminal. And as I stepped my first step through the doorway, there were 6 guys there, and I was the 7th. As I stepped my first step through the threshold into that pool room, I knew who was going to live and who was going to die.
Wow, that's really profound.
It was a powerful, powerful experience.
I bet.
And the guy that I kind of felt least close to was a guy named Bill Segrist, and he became my best friend. And of the 7 of us, 6 of us went to the 4th Infantry Division. 1 went to the 1st Division, that was Rocco Luciano, real handsome, blonde-haired Italian kid from Brooklyn. He was the first one killed. He died after just a few weeks in Vietnam. And the guy that I felt least close to, like I said, wasn't that I didn't like him. I liked all of them. It was like I'd known them from before. But I was concerned about his safety and well-being, was my buddy Bill Segrist, who ended up in the same division, same brigade, same battalion, same company, and same platoon as me. And he was my best friend throughout the whole war and was the bravest guy I ever knew in my life in Vietnam. He was absolutely a heroic human being.
Well, thank you so much for sharing these profound stories. And I'm sure that you feel, as I do, I've had 3 angelic interventions where I know it saved my life.
Oh, sure.
I feel obligated to help other people now.
I do,
and
too.
To and to talk about it and to do seminars and to make other people realize that this angelic help is available for everyone.
Right.
And just to be able to listen, and if you hear that, to listen. And do you still feel guided daily by your angels?
Yeah. Sure. I keep a spiritual diary. I meditate. And those are important things for every human being to do. Your soul is constantly trying to communicate with you. And we say in the Claregate method of astrology that we use in England that reading books, the esoteric classics, books by Blavatsky, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, Douglas Baker, my teacher, it stimulates neurons in the brain. And if you're meditating and you're reading these esoteric classical books and you're of service to mankind, it supplies three energies to you that open the three head centers equally. And that will create the lens for the third eye and will expand your consciousness into super consciousness. And a lot of those experiences, a few of them that I've had in my life, have really been what many people would call super conscious experiences. Some of them were angelic intervention. There are many kinds of experiences that we can have as spiritual human beings.
And I do believe the more that we allow and believe and embrace this special help and special gift of intuition, telepathy, spirit guides, angels, that we just continue to grow and tap into our higher self and the collective consciousness to continue to just keep growing. So I thank you so much. And do you have any events that are coming up?
I do. I have a couple of things. We have the Great Lakes Retreat at Olivet College from July 17th to the 22nd. It's the oldest New Age spiritual retreat in Michigan, and probably one of them oldest in the United States. It's been around for 40 years. If you go to www.thegreatlakesretreat.org, you can look it up. And also I have the www.claregateonline.com/Claregate Method for the new astrology, which is very powerful and involves some of the things that I just talked about with the propositioning of the higher self, the using of a spiritual diary, meditation, and service to mankind. And the new astrology is a soul-based astrology. It's very different from mundane astrology, which is personality orientation. The new astrology, the Claregate Method, shows us how to use an astrology that is soul-based and soul-centered. Very, very powerful, super accurate. I couldn't imagine living my life without it.
Yeah, I'll have to have you on another time, and we can talk about that, too.
We'll do that. Yeah, I'll look forward to it.
I've got
a lot of interesting stories about Dr. Baker and some of my spiritual experiences in life before and after Vietnam. So we don't have to talk about Vietnam per se.
Well, but, you had shared that story with me about Vietnam and the bunker when we were at astrology conference, and I thank you so much for being on today, and I have to go to my commercials now, my announcements, but you have a beautiful rest of the week, and I thank you for being on The Healing Soul.
Thank you, Mary Beth.
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Mary Beth. Would you like to go to your announcements?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, upcoming events for Mary Beth include Mary Beth will be giving readings and Reiki at the Holistic Psychic Expo on June 4th and 5th at Eastern Michigan University in the Student Center on the second floor. Saturday evening, Mary Beth will be giving mediumship messages at the Holistic Psychic Expo as part of the Michigan Mediums. Mary Beth self-help books are available on Amazon.com. Search on Amazon under Mary Beth Lombeck Nelson. Mary Beth has openings for readings in Reiki. Give her a call to schedule an appointment to learn your future and heal your past. You can call 734-890-8581 to schedule your reading. Mary Beth's next Reiki 1 certification class is June 18th at noon. You must pre-register to attend, and you can only do that by giving her a call or contacting her through her website. That number again is 734-890-8581. And for more information and to listen to Mary Beth's archive shows, please visit BodyMindSpiritRadio.com and click on the Healing Soul. You can also join her fan club on that page and connect with her personally and ask her questions about today's show or any shows in archive. You can also contact her by website or phone at 734-890-8581 or spiritualintuitivemb.com. Now back to your host, Mary Beth.
Thank you, Courtney. Were there any other questions?
You had a couple of different questions, so I'm just going to kind of start with the way they came in. How do you differentiate between angels and loved ones? Is the feeling different to you when you pull a spirit of a loved one as opposed to a spirit of an angel or an angelic presence?
It is. It is completely different. When you're pulling your angel, you get that peace and serenity that just is, it's like a loving wave comes over you from your core. You just know that it's an angelic presence. Whereas when I get my brother that comes through or my mom or dad, I usually will get a scent or a memory of a special time, and then I'll know it's them. It's a different feeling. I mean, I still feel the love for them, of course, but it's just not a all-encompassing, serene, and peaceful feeling like you get when your angels are around you.
Now, do you believe loved ones can come back as angels or that they can take on an angelic presence on the other side?
I believe that our crossed-over loved ones can send us good vibes or prayers over our lives if we're going through a hard time and we talk to our crossed-over loved ones in meditation. That they can, you know, send good wishes and affirmations our way, but I don't believe they become angels. And I know people will say, well, they're like your angel watching over you. Well, in a way they are, because they're cheerleading and wishing you good things and helping to guide you from the other side. But I don't believe they literally become angels. I think there is a difference.
Okay. Another question that was asked, do you believe that the extreme circumstances of the war brought those angelic presences forward? I guess the question kind of came through as, is it because he was in such severe circumstances, such as, you know, a world war or a war overseas, do you feel like that's what brought those messages forward?
No, I think what it is when you're in a dire situation where death is so close and so imminent and so certain, if there isn't an intervention, that those are the times that angelic interventions happen, not that the person's making it happen, that the angels are interceding if you're spiritually connected, because it's not your exit point or time to leave this life. So they help get you out of harm's way, because there's free will of everyone else for these circumstances to happen. Just like when I had my near-death experience, that could have been my exit point, and I have four children. They wouldn't have had a mother. So I know angelic intervention helped to get help for when I was hemorrhaging to come back to my body and to still be here. So I didn't bring it about. They came to me because I was spiritually open and allowing. And I feel like that's what happened in David's case also.
So how do I want to put this? I'm trying to word it how the listeners are having me word it, but I wanted to make sure that the listeners understand the question as it's being asked, too. I mean, in your experience, so angelic messages come through at any point. It doesn't just have to be dire circumstances or extreme circumstances.
I think there's a difference between an angelic intervention and an angel message.
Okay.
So the intervention is stopping your imminent death in a situation, whereas an angel message and angel guidance on a daily basis can be when things are going great and you're just spiritually attuned, you're meditating, or you're asking them to come in a dream and they bring you a loving message or guidance.
Very interesting, and I thank you for explaining that. I think that you painted that very beautifully for the listeners.
Well, thank you.
So
thank you.
I'm going to send it back to you.
Okay, thank you. So I have an angel affirmation for today, and it's something that you can say, you know, every day to just open yourself up to allowing if you're not used to asking your angels to step forward. So the angel affirmation, I ask my angels for help today. I'm open to receive their help and their suggestions. I'm aware of angel messages coming to me right now. I realize subtle nudges and guidance that my angels are giving me. I ask my angels to come in my dreams tonight, and I ask that I remember their messages. I am grateful for all their loving help and angelic help in my daily life in guiding me and angelic intervention in my dire times of need. I have received help and will continue to receive help daily. I believe, I receive, and I'm so very grateful. And, you know, if you've never asked for angel help, you can make your own angel affirmation. And it's just talking to them and allowing the energy, their beautiful, peaceful energy, to start to flow through and to help guide you in your life. And it's my brother's birthday today, so I just want to wish my big brother, Pat, a happy birthday today and let him know that I'm thinking of him, and I hope he's having a great day. So I just want you to know that if you're going out there and you're going through a rough time, that your angels are there to bless you, to guide you, and to give you that peace and calm and serenity that you might have right now in your life. So if you let go of the fear and anxiety and know that you do have loved ones are helping from the other side, as well as your angels and your guardian angels, it just helps you get through another day if you're going through a hard time. And if you're holding on to things from your past, they can help you let go of your past and to forgive yourself. And it really is freeing to start each day with a fresh slate and think about moving forward with your life and not focus on the negative situations that have happened in your past. It really empowers yourself to start each day fresh and have that inner healing and awaken that you are a powerful soul and that you can go through very bad tragedies in life and still have good things in your future and you can grow from them. And I always pull an angel card, and today I pulled the angel of forgiveness. I choose to forgive all those who have hurt me in the past. So forgiving and releasing allows you to heal your past and empower yourself to have a beautiful future in the present moment. So by the angel of forgiveness, you're freeing your own soul to unburden the hurts and the pain that's within you and allowing a peace and calm and serenity to come over you to handle your present moment and your future with a clean slate that empowers your soul to do whatever you go after and whatever you set your mind to be fresh and free. So remember to believe in your angels, because they definitely believe in you. And know that you're never alone, and that in dire straits and in times where you really need someone, invite angelic intervention to come into your life and to help you, and to just believe that, that things can get better. And truly, angelic intervention comes at any hour, any day that you truly need a miracle. You've just got to be open to allowing and be spiritually, you know, awake that it is possible for you to receive help. And you'll know you've been helped by angelic intervention by the extreme peace and serenity that just flows through you at a time where you should be completely stressed out. You have peace, and you just know that you've been helped. So it's just beautiful that God has given us angels to help us and to guide us, you know, like I said, every day. It doesn't have to be a traumatic time. Things can be going good and you just need some extra guidance. Ask your angels and archangels, help me in everything that I do today. And like I said, before a long trip, you know, put your angels around you before you get in the plane. And even when you're driving, ask your angels to surround you and to guide you on a daily basis. And expect remarkable things to happen every day, because they can. And the more you are open and allowing, the more you awaken your soul self to receive all these messages and more. So I just want to thank you for listening to The Healing Soul today, and have a beautiful week. Goodbye.